We're happy to announce that about 3 weeks ago, Barbara Duke made her confession of faith in Christ and was baptized here at the building. Barbara, this is the first time that we've had the announcement when y'all have been here. We want you to stand, would you? You and Tim both. Stand, if you would. Let us see you. They're right over here. We're so thankful for you, for your faith, and for both of you being here to work with us. I was thinking some weeks ago, wouldn't it be great if America's 200th birthday would fall on the Lord's Day? And I just thought of it as a conjecture. I thought, well, that would be truly significant. And don't you know, shortly after that, I looked at the calendar and found out that that is precisely when it was to fall. And it has come today, and I thought how great if we could make the beginning of our third century not only begin on the Lord's Day, but begin in the Lord's way. And I'm convinced that if America makes a new beginning, it will have to be because those of us who have been born anew call America back to her original moorings. And so I want to speak to us today to that end. I want to call to our attention the Roman letter, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And I call your attention to this because it is a call to a rebirth. It's a call to wake up. And I pray God's blessings on us today as we read this and consider some thoughts in the light of this challenge. I'll probably leave out one sentence because it is so peculiarly applicable to Christians. But the rest of this, really, the whole thing is set in the context of government and our responsibility to government, our taxes, our honor, our respect. All of these things are the context of this statement by the Apostle Paul as he calls Christians and people to a responsible walk in life. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to justify its desires. Though that's stated to Christians, it is stated in the context of our responsibility to our government. We stand today, as we observe the 200th birthday of America, at a very unique point in time. And I'm convinced at an unprecedented position in history. For you see, all of the learning of all the ages, of all the nations, has become our heritage. And all the lessons learned from the experiences of all the people of all the nations has become our teacher. And all the light that's been shed upon all the nations of the world from above has been focused finally upon this great nation, concerning which Abraham Lincoln said it is the last, best hope of earth. And if I were to take the time today to recount all the blessings that have accrued over the last 200 years, and of which we have become the inheritors, it would take all of today and tonight. It would take all of tomorrow and the next day. And it would go on and on and on. But I don't choose to do that. You know those blessings. We may not appreciate them, but we know them. But as we turn away from the blessings, and as we turn the corner of this 200th anniversary of our nation, We turn it looking for light and direction. But I'm afraid that as we turn looking for light and direction, we only find darkness and confusion. I don't want to be one who would bring gloom and dismay on such a day as this. And yet I will not be a prophet who cries peace when there is no peace. I must point us to some things that I believe are snuffing out our national life. I ask of the elders, would it be appropriate for me to direct attention to our needs as a nation? And I was answered, by all means. As we turn to look, we find that some of the lights of our nation are being put out. Our light is actually going out. I know that you might not like to think about it. You'd like to think that America is going to continue as a supreme nation and in a place of supremacy and leadership all of its history, but it won't. Our light is going out, and even though we are the last best hope of the earth, that also will cease one day, and I'm confident that it is well on its way to being extinguished now because of the simple fact that we have severed ourselves from our source of power. America need not think that she can still serve as a light to the world if she severs the cable that powers that light. And America has come to be a nation of people, whether in part or whole, you'll have to determine. But we have actually become betrayers of the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was intended to be a declaration of independence from outside intervention from earthly powers. We have come to be a nation of people who, in the process of our so-called earthly wisdom, have now declared ourselves to be independent of any intervention at all, God Himself notwithstanding, and we have declared ourselves to be independent of God Himself. And as long as we take that position as a nation of people, you can expect our light to continually flicker and finally go out. Alexis de Tocqueville of France, in the early 1900s, heard of the majesty of America, saw her excellence among the nations of the world, and came to America to see what made America great. He traversed her land, he came to her cities, he looked into her hamlets, he looked at her families, he went into her church buildings, and Mr. de Tocqueville went back to France and said, America is great because America is good. And whenever America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And if America does cease to be great, it is because she has ceased to be good. There are three lights of special brilliance that have made America great and good in the past that are now dimming and are on the point of extinction. And we are now left stumbling in the darkness as a people without direction. We're calling upon leadership that perhaps does not exist anywhere in the land. And we're now suffering the consequences of foolish acts by leadership in the past, and it may be past the point of regaining our position. I want to mention three of these lights this morning that we have either totally or in the process of snuffing out that's causing us now to stumble in such darkness. The first of these is simply labor rooted in honor. Labor rooted in honor is the first ethic that God gave man. When God made the Garden of Eden and made man then, He made him and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it, to take care of it. That was a job. It was to be done. It was not associated with sin. It was not acquainted with disobedience. The job that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden predated their disobedience from God or to God, and they were simply given a job to do. In Genesis 2:15, it records this great first ethic that God gave to people, and it involved work. And you need not expect to arise to the level of God's image upon earth unless you're willing to give an honest day's work in order to receive an honest day's pay. And in our nation, America, being the garden of the Western Hemisphere, it also had as its beginning this very concept of work. It's called the Puritan ethic, but it's not any more Puritan than many of the other good qualities that they possessed. Those qualities were God's qualities. It's God's work ethic. And an honest day's work for an honest day's pay was the maxim that built America's physical power and built her material might. And she need not expect to continue in such physical and material prosperity and at the same time deny that principle that brought her to that position of prosperity. And yet today we live in a time of unprecedented power and unlimited influence by a labor movement that has gone to seed. And we're being whipped around like the tail would whip a dog by men who are motivated by greed. And the men who are motivated by greed occupy their positions of power only because of the fact that they are ruling over a people who are motivated by greed. And they have all long since passed their point of usefulness and are now pushing this great nation to the brink of financial ruin. And quite consciously in contradiction to what Jesus taught when he said, "Be content with your wages," the American labor movement is telling its people, never be content with your wages. Never, never, never be content with your wages. And as long as a nation of people goes that diametrically opposed to a maxim laid down by the God of the universe, you can only expect chaos and confusion and final bankruptcy. But we're facing that kind of bankruptcy, and we're being pushed there by a labor movement that's gone to seed. Greed has replaced patriotism in America. Individual wants have replaced personal needs and the public good. Rights have been overshadowed by overshadowing responsibilities. And mammon has replaced God, Jehovah, as the God in whom America trusts. And as Paul Harvey said this morning about 6:15, that capitalism without God is no better than any other ism. And that's true. And we need to get back to this number one ethic, the number one light. And I don't mean it's number one because of importance. I'm just simply stating that this is one of the lights, and that is work with honor. That is, wages with contentment. And until we get back to these principles, our light will continue to fade. But a second great light that has been such a brilliant demonstration of America's closeness to God has been that of education rooted in God. Work with honor, education rooted in God. Education rooted in God is the very beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs, the 9th chapter and verse 10, there it states that the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of God. To know the Lord is insight, it says. And yet we've denied that in America. But in the times past, America has indeed had that as the very central part of their education, but no longer. America has become a fool. And may I say this by not, I don't say it, let me read it. The number one educational bust, the number one educational faux-paw, the number one educational blunder is found in Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through the end of that chapter. And I'm going to read it for you because I want you to see what the natural outcome of education without God really is. Beginning with verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations with men for unnatural relations with women. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. They are filled with all manner of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And there is no more accurate a description of much of America than this description that is given in Romans, the first chapter. And he says the reason for it is because you have pursued education without God. And no nation can pursue education without God without reaping the consequences of it. The three R's is not enough. Reading and writing and arithmetic is not enough. There must be a fourth R. That R is religion. And to teach technology on the scale that America has achieved it, to teach that technology without teaching at the same time morality and human responsibility, is like placing a loaded machine gun in the hand of a psychopathic maniac. Or better still, it's like putting an atomic bomb under the thumb and the button under the thumb of a man who thinks that people came from monkeys. And that is exactly the condition that we are in today. We have the hydrogen bombs in the hands of people who believe that men came from monkeys. And that's because of the fact that education has cast God out. Let me read you something, please, that was written about 100 years ago. Perhaps not more than 50 years ago. But a man by the name of William E. Brooks gave a commencement sermon. And in that commencement sermon, he says, as he talks about education, at the bottom, education is or ought to be a religious matter. We who are Christians are concerned about industrial efficiency, but we are far more concerned about that sort of efficiency that makes good men willing and strong to do the will of God. And there is no task confronting the Christian church in America so amazingly important as the immediate examination of its duty to the work of education, not merely that democracy may be preserved, but that the things of the Spirit may be made more vital and formidable in American life. There is no other place where the mobilization of its forces is so greatly needed or so quickly necessary as in the educational field. It has tremendous responsibilities in the whole field of education, but these are particularly pressing in that portion of it which deals with the higher education. And here, utilitarianism and socialism, both phases of modern materialism and both anti-Christian, have entrenched themselves most thoroughly. Yet here are the future leaders of the people trained. And as these are trained, so will the people be. And in our higher levels of education in America, for the last 25 to 50 years, the education in America has been decidedly and determinedly and purposefully without God. And as long as you train the leaders of a nation over a half a century of time to ignore and deny God, you need not expect anything to come from that but a harvest of confusion and stress and chaos. Our educational system must be revamped if we're going to be a people who continue to be a light in the world. This particular light, that of education rooted in God, is being systematically snuffed out. And I pray God that we might come to our senses. America's education without God has produced ignorance in the place of learning. It has produced ignorance in the place of true knowledge. It has caused riots that are destroying the rights of Americans. The blind in America are leading the blind. We're producing a generation of uneducated, undisciplined, uncouth, and ungodly human beings who are killing themselves and each other at the rate of 30 a day. Now, that's what Paul Harvey said this morning. And whether he documents it, I'll have to just document it with him. He didn't give any documentation. But it says that those who are educated in this kind of a godless type of education are killing themselves and each other at the rate of 30 every day of every week of every year that we continue in this kind of an education. Finally, the third major light that is dimming in America is the light of religion rooted in conviction. Religion rooted in conviction is a light that's going out, or at least it has over the last several years, over the last 25 to 50 years, it is a light that has been dimming. Perhaps there's a rebirth, I don't know. I'm hoping and praying that that's true. But that which has brought us to our present dark hour has been the existence of a condition of religion that is void of conviction. The birth pangs that gave America her existence were the birth pangs of religious conviction. Had there been no religious conviction, I doubt very seriously that there would have been an America. And until you get back to those religious convictions, you won't have the same America that you began with. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I want to read there a passage and just make reference really to it. But understand this. In other words, he says, put your mind to this. It's something that's coming. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. See how many of these you think apply to the general of America, the general people. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. The power of religion is faith. The essence of faith is conviction. And whenever you have religion in any country that consists merely of convention rather than conviction, you're going to have a powerless structure that will have no influence for good and will instead cause the people to heap upon it all of the ridicule and turn their backs upon it in disgust. That is what has happened in every nation that has come to the place where their religion becomes void of conviction. And until America can get back to her former conviction, she'll never get back to the place of being a light in the world that she once enjoyed. So I'm simply saying, as Solzhenitsyn said, there is no salvation for the world except through moral, religious regeneration. He served that notice to both East and West some months ago in Europe. He says there is no salvation for the world except through moral, religious regeneration. I want to read something that was picked up by J.P. Sanders, the president of Columbia Christian College. He read it in a book called Literature and Western Man by J.B. Priestley, pages 445 and 444 and 445. Listen to this statement by this educator, by this literary giant, a literary person who could evaluate the literary scene. Religion alone can carry the load, defend us against the dehumanizing collectives, restore true personality. And it is doubtful if our society can last much longer without religion, for either it will destroy itself by some final idiot war, or at peace, but hurrying in the wrong direction, it will soon largely cease to be composed of persons. But I have no religion. Most of my friends have no religion. Very few of the major modern writers we've been considering have had any religion. And what is certain is that our society has none. So we have no religion. And inside or outside literature, man feels homeless, helpless, and in despair. So we need to say to ourselves and to America, wake up, America, it won't work. Self-government without self-discipline won't work. Politics without principle won't work. Pleasure without conscience won't work. Knowledge without God won't work. Wealth without work won't work. Business without morality won't work. Science without humanity won't work. Worship without sacrifice and conviction won't work. America without God won't work. So we need to say to ourselves, call ourselves to this, and call the nation among whom we serve as light and salt. We need to call them to this fact and tell them, wake up, it's high time. You know what hour it is. Get up. Let Christ shine on you. It's time to wake up and turn on the light. It's time to turn on the light. Jesus is our only light. And returning to God is America's only hope. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Jew from Nazareth, God among men, God incarnate, King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus of Nazareth, the first and the last, Jesus of Nazareth, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus of Nazareth, who once was dead, now is alive forevermore, Jesus of Nazareth, who has in his hands the keys to death and Hades, Jesus of Nazareth, who will one day stand before all of the nations of the earth and will judge them. Jesus of Nazareth, as one black man said this morning on TV so beautifully, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, if he were to put on a suit, could wear all of the nations of the earth in his watch pocket. Jesus of Nazareth is our only light. And he calls us in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He calls us to that unprecedented statement. He makes this unprecedented claim, and he has never, ever yet been proved to be wrong, not one single time. Jesus of Nazareth is that light. The Apostle Paul, some 30 years later, makes this claim and makes this challenge not just to Christians. He's making this challenge, I found, to just simply the civilization in general. He says, awake, O thou that are asleep, and Jesus Christ will give you light. And he's talking to America. He was talking to Rome. He was talking to Jerusalem. He was talking to every nation of the earth. Wake up, you nations that are asleep. Let Jesus Christ give you light. May I finally say that America is not just America. God knows America is not just America, any more than Rome was just Rome. As Rome went, so went the whole world. And as goes America, so goes the whole world. And I find that the statement by Jesus Christ in Matthew 6:23, where he says, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great indeed is the darkness. There are two emphases that bring us two very powerful lessons. He says, if the light in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? But to those of us in America, he says, if the light in you, of all the peoples of the earth, if the light in America be darkness, if the light in you be darkness, pray God, how great is the darkness? And I maintain that America will stand before God in the day of judgment, and it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah and for pagan Rome and pagan Greece than it will be for America, for to whom much has been committed, much will also be required. And I'd rather stand before God with a bone through my nose and stand before him in sheer total ignorance than to stand before God in the day of judgment as a person who has been brought up in America and yet has spit in his face. America, wake up. If America would regain the heights of her former achievements, she must restore the depths of her former convictions. She must return to God as the source of her power. You mark my word, unless we do that shortly, America is a past tense. You and I, who are the lights of the world, you and I, who are sent into the world to be the salt of the earth, we have a charge to keep. May God bless us, and may these very simple things of just simply labor rooted in honor, and education rooted in God, and religion rooted in conviction, may we be a people who very forcefully bring this to bear upon the mind of America and bring America back to her original moorings. May God bless us. Will you stand and sing this charge to each other, and let's be about our business.